Julian Top and your TARDISes, you're listening to another episode of Doctor Huh?
Why don't I get to be a skin guy?
I want to be a skin guy and be 9,000 years old.
Maybe someday.
We're a Doctor Who rewatch podcast where we watch Doctor Who. No?
I am not rewatching. How dare
you? This is a podcast where you watch Doctor Who in the correct order, which is randomly.
Yes.
I'm Jordan. I'm unbothered, moisturized, happy in my lane and flourishing.
I'm Sam. I have a dry sense of humor, and I will not be moisturizing it.
Oh my god. You have to. You have to moisturize.
No.
Mr. Obama, please moisturize me.
We're recording this at 7:30 in God's morning.
I just got home from work. I'm very tired, but instead of sleeping and playing Fallout New Vegas, I will be talking about Series 1, Episode 2, End of the World, A Little Tip of the Hat to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, by Russell T. Davies, directed by Yuros Lin.
No, JoJo is by Hirohiko Araki.
Yuros Lin, the Doctor Who staff member who most makes me think of a character from A Song of Ice and Fire. Doesn't it sound a little bit like a like an A-O-A-S-O-A-I-I-F name? Sir Yuros Lin.
A Song of Ice and Fire. I think it's Yuros Lin. We've seen quite a number of episodes directed by Yuros Lin. They're all over the
I don't know what their gender is. Nor do I care. I think
Yuros Lin is a man.
Nor do I care. Did you not hear me?
Hey, Yuros Lin, fuck your gender.
I don't fucking care about your gender, Yuros Lin. You did a great job.
My pronouns are who, him.
My pronouns are who cares. Oh, don't let the Republicans hear about that. Oh, no. Oh, no. If they get that one, it'll be
They've been doing much worse than that.
Yeah, like, my pronouns are kiss my
I mean,
ass,
in terms of that joke and just generally.
I was going to say in terms of that joke. This is the second episode, so last week, let's see, coffee table got destroyed, and that's the only thing I care about. The nesting consciousness, doctor said, you are all stinky apes, haha.
And I'm the president.
What'd you think of this episode? What score, what letter grade would you give it, and what are we watching next? Okay. Just kidding, I'm just
Look, New Vegas is great, but you need to be plugged into what we're doing right now.
Just kidding. Did you like this one? You saw this episode before many moons ago.
Yes, this was one of the, I still don't know how far I watched. Maybe when we see episodes 3 and 4, I'll be able to decide if I've seen
hilariously
them already,
but I have no memory of the episode in the next time on. But boy does lady,
what was it?
It was Ghost and she screams and Charles Dickens.
Oh, yeah, I must have watched that one, because I remember watching far enough to see the Slitheens farting, but
there's so few episodes of Eccleman, and one of them is the Screaming Ghost episode that I don't remember in the slightest. Did you like this episode, though? Did you like it? Did you like Lady Cassandra? I mean,
this episode was great.
I think this episode's really good, and I like it because it actually ties into themes that we see later in the show, which I think is interesting.
Well,
I think it's more that the show accidentally circles around back around the themes that
I have one.
This episode.
I really have one problem with the episode, and everything else I liked.
The problem is
Jordan. The hallway was so fucking stupid.
I was gonna say it was the like needless transphobia. That was unnecessary, I thought.
I don't remember that, but I did watch this episode a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I watched this episode a couple weeks ago, and then I got sick, and then I finished the last, like, 10 minutes, because I forgot to do that.
Okay, well, if we get to that part and I remember it, then maybe
It was just a classic early to mid 2000s joke where Lady Cassandra's like, haha, I remember when I was a little boy, like,
forgot about that.
But it's played for laughs. Okay, so we begin this episode. Doctor wants to take Rose on her very first adventure, and he says, where do you want to go? And she says, and he's like, I could take you 100 years in the future. She wants to go in the future, because she thinks she wants to see like, the cool robot cars and stuff.
You saying this, it's already coming back to me, the themes that you were talking about, and I'm remembering why this episode is so good.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, ooh. He's like, I could take you 100 years in the future. And she's like, they'll still have McDonald's. And I want to see what they have further down. And I want to see, like, cool neo-McDonald's. And then,
so he takes her. That's the classic American thing. Go to a place,
and then,
see what McDonald's
is like. And then here's something I'm intrigued about that I hope they explore one day. 12,005.
Yeah.
New Roman Empire. The Times New Roman Empire. What's going on there, guys? Sort of a Legion playthrough? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fallout.
You know, you, as a huge fan of the Legion, I think that you should know exactly what's going
on. Excuse me, did you just tell me that I'm a huge fan of the Legion?
Well, you already know that. I'm just telling our listeners that you're a huge fan of the Legion.
I will kill you. I will nail you to the cross, profligate.
I'm lying. Jordan doesn't like the Legion.
I don't like the Legion. Who likes the Legion? Oh, well. Fascists like the Legion.
Wow.
But, well. Anyway, the point is that Rose is like, I don't like Romans either. And then yeah,
she's being very playful. She's like, only 12,000. And we then see a part of the TARDIS that I don't think we have ever seen in any other episode. And it's my favorite thing, which is that in order to make the TARDIS go forwards, he's like turning a squeaky little wheel.
I love the little crank.
And then he's pumping the TARDIS.
This feels, I can so imagine like Tommy Baker, little Tommy, cranking that big wheel, but I don't think we ever see him do it, but I can totally imagine it in my mind.
No, it's in his contract that he doesn't have to turn the wheel.
I don't want to turn a fucking wheel.
Let Canine do it.
I think someone posted, I'm so sorry if I don't remember who this was, who posted it. I'm not going to incorrectly attribute it to Ironicus. I'm going to check and be smart before
it was Ironicus. It was Ironicus. About the Tom Baker thing.
Where Tom Baker was just like, I never really read those scripts.
Didn't he say it was like cheating?
Yeah, he said it was cheating if he read the scripts. What a legend.
But, I mean, you can't argue with results. His episodes are okay.
He did a great job as the Doctor, and we're very proud of him. The Doctor, this Doctor, he turns the crank so hard that he takes Rose to the year, and this is a sort of a little funny joke about 5.5 Apple 26, which is like, I guess in the future, numbers aren't.
They ran out of numbers. Yeah. But he also does say that it's 5 billion years.
He translates it for her. And basically what he's done is he's taken Rose to the chronological end of the Earth.
The end of the world.
The end
the
of the
Big
world.
Apple 26. Sort
of a tip of the hat to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Would you believe? Remember when Matt Smith Doctor did this and Clara also didn't like it? So I think
I wanted to go back to hide and check if there was like a shot of this like little space station in the background when he goes to the future.
Sort of a, Russell sort of doing a tip of the hat, a sort of a look forward, a teaser, a preview of Hyde for us, a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, this is the episode that Hyde was inspired by.
Well, did you not notice that one of the kooky aliens was the stinky, what was that guy called?
The creaky man?
I love that guy.
So basically what's happening is that rich people from space are coming to this space station in orbit of the Earth about to die to watch it die and have some drinks, I think we can just say that this is based on the premise of the restaurant at the end of the universe from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, another instance of Doctor Who stealing the intellectual property of Doctor Who writer, why can't I think of his name? I'm so
upset. Adams.
Douglas Adams.
I mean, they stole the intellectual property from him on an episode that he wrote.
That's not stealing.
His name and turned it into Norman Ashby, I think.
I really like the Doctor basically making sure that we know that this is as ethical as possible and that Rose is only upset sort of on a spiritual level. Because he's like, listen, all the humans, they're not dead. They've just like kind of evolved. They're different guys now. They're called Human 2. They're all gone. The animals, they all got on the Ark and left. All the British people got on the whale.
They all got on the space whale.
They got on the space whale. No one's lived here for billions of years, and they've had this planet in stasis for a special occasion, and this is the special occasion, and they're just coming to watch. No one's dying.
It reminds me of in Zack Snyder's DC movies.
When everybody left before the big fight.
When they're like, we're in the abandoned district.
We're in the final destination where
so we can blow up as many buildings as we want, and it's fine. So,
but I mean, it does make the episode sort of a more rich quandary for Rose. It's like, yeah, this is more like an emotionally and mentally troubling image more so than anything else. There's no death.
There's no stakes.
There's no stakes except for, like,
the thing that the episode is actually about.
And Rose
I like the... Because the Doctor explains the circumstances of how the Earth is going to be destroyed. Because she's like, how did the sun not already do it? We're 5 billion years in the future. And the Doctor explains, well, Earth is currently property of the National Trust.
Okay, it's, hold on a minute. Wait a second.
Let me say it all. They have set up gravity satellites to hold back the expansion of the sun, and they have also, because Rose is like looking down at the Earth and she's like, that looks very familiar. Shouldn't it look different by now? And he says, well, when everyone left, they shifted the continents back to classic
Earth. Put it back to classic mode. This is a very funny thing from the Rusty era. We see this back in Planet of the Ood as well, of like 5 billion trillion years into the future. People still know about like Never Gonna Give You Up. Well, no, it was a really good joke. I liked it. Well, there was Toxic by Britney Spears, and then it was like Safety Dance or some Tainted Love. That's what it was.
Which episode is this? Oh, it's this episode. Sorry.
Yeah, and then in that episode, you know, even though we had well moved into the era of Glyph Simpsons, they were playing Doe. It's like, I don't think in 1,000 years people will still know about Doe, but in 5 billion years, people are like, we care about the classic arrangement of our continents.
Well, because the reason that they love this arrangement of the continents is because this is what the continents looked like when The Simpsons was airing.
Oh, and the thing I was going to get mad about, I'm sorry, the thing... And maybe I'm getting a little Jeremy about it, but the National Trust in the year 5.5 billion, it had a lot of sticking power.
Well, he says the reason that Earth is going to be destroyed now is because they are out of money.
What nation?
Yeah.
The nation of the little guy.
When Rose says, I don't remember exactly how he said this again. I watched it like two weeks ago, but I like when Rose says, how long does it have? And the doctor says, about half an hour. Then the planet gets roasted.
I don't know why. Okay, there's a few things about the next thing that happens is there's a blue man.
Oh, cool.
And he starts playing his drums and paint is all over the place.
Oh, nice.
So cool. And the doctor shows him his psychic paper. Hello, Your Majesty, and your wife. Huh? And then a procession
of Bill walks in and starts being racist to him.
A procession of like silly, goofy comedy aliens come in, and they're all silly and zany. And when I do want to address
a really good exchange between the doctor and Rose, mm-hmm. where Rose goes, "He's blue," and the doctor says, "Yeah," and she says, "Okay."
So there's a when I was watching the show when I was 14, and I thought I was so cool. I was like, you know. I had heard people talking about Doctor. Let me check this out. And I was like, I like it, but I don't know if I like all these goofy, fun and aliens. Like, this episode upset me because there were silly aliens in costumes and prosthetics. And can we all bully me, age 14, for that? The fuck is wrong with me? You. How dare this show have fun aliens on it?
Boo.
I want everyone to be wearing black t-shirts and sunglasses.
Yeah, the aliens in this episode are cool. The blue man is introducing the guests.
The part when we get the little dinks from Spaceballs. They have these little children walking around.
Yeah.
Dink 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 dink.
So he introduces from the forest of Cheem, we have trees, Jabe, Loot, and Koffa.
This was a good joke. Yeah.
Do you remember when we heard about the Forest of Cheem?
No, I see in your notes that you're telling me that this is BioTruth's planet.
It was in the BioTruth's episode, the Doctor, the Wizard, and the Wardrobe.
Steven.
He said that that one time a Forest of Cheem tree was horny for him.
Steven.
What?
Steven.
What is the problem with him calling back to this?
For a moment I thought you were saying that the Forest of Cheem was the planet on the space episode.
The doctor in that episode says,
he said,
like,
I kissed a tree.
Oh,
one
time. I fucked a tree once in
he
a
did
hallway
not fuck
with fans.
When? Yeah, excuse me. There was no fucking going on.
He doesn't
on
say he
episode.
Fucked a tree. He just said that the tree fancied him.
We see a bunch of other silly aliens. There's these guys who will matter
the
later.
The Mocks of Balhoon.
The adherents of the repeated epic meme. Sorry. I had to. I couldn't help myself. I know that a meme is like a thing. We all know. We've all played Metal Gear Rising.
We all know. We all know about Advice Dog, okay?
We all know about Velociraptor. Who sponsored this event, by the way?
Who was the one who put that down?
We know him. We love him.
Oh, it's the face of Bo.
It's the face of Bo. This is his first appearance.
Bo.
Do you know what's up with the face of Bo? Did we learn that yet?
No.
Okay.
We just watched him die.
Okay.
Have we only seen him in Gridlock before this?
He was in Gridlock, yeah.
I think that's the only time we've seen him.
It's kind of funny that he comes back.
The tree lady Jabe gives the doctor a cutting of her grandfather as a gift of peace. There's a lot of gifts being exchanged here. He reciprocates with some air from his lungs and says, "There's more where that came from." And she says, "Yes, please." She's so.
I love this part. Yeah, she does sort of sap her pants. I like this part because the gift of the air in his lungs to a tree. Like, I get, like, yeah, that makes sense.
But then he does.
He just walks around blowing on people.
And then the Moxa Balhoon comes over and goes up to Rose and says, "Bodily salivas," and spits her on face. Her.
It's great. The adherents of the repeated meme give the doctor a funny little Kinder Surprise egg.
Yeah, it's a big silver egg. They're giving big silver eggs to everybody.
Yeah, and then we get to meet the last human. Lady
Cassandra O'Brien dot Delta 17.
A character that we all know and love, a very memorable character. She is
Skin Lady.
Skin Lady. She's a so many nips and tucks and Botox and you know that's what this is sort of about. And she's now just a piece of skin stretched over a rack. The thing that I find particularly like unpleasant about her to look at, but like besides her CGI mouth, is the little veins that like pulse as she talks. Ew.
Yeah, also you can see through her.
Oh, and she's got these two like servants who spray her down with water, and she
moisturizes me. Yeah, she says like, "Oh, I took off the last like couple of ounces now that I've had my chin removed."
And there's a lot, she does a lot of jokes about what if the future. She's like, my parents were born in Texas in the desert of Antarctica, which is kind of already a joke because, you know, technically the Arctic is a desert because with water, because it's all.
Can I say, it didn't even cross my mind that the joke was that we were supposed to be picturing it as like the Sahara.
Yeah.
I was just the desert, yeah.
She brings an ostrich egg and a jukebox, which she says is an iPod.
Yeah, she said, according to the iPod, according to the archive, this was called an iPod. So let's listen to some classical music and Tainted Love starts playing.
This joke sticks in my craw, because they did the same joke on Futurama. And it was funny on Futurama, because he was listening to Baby Got Back, and Leela says, "You're sitting around listening to classical music." Uh-huh. And maybe I'm turning into Jeremy. Let me know. Send me a message on Tumblr if I'm Jeremy right now. This is like...
For anyone who's not sure what Jordan is talking about, Jeremy is the guy from CinemaSins.
He's the CinemaSins guy. No, I'm taking this... I'm like, well, I don't think that a thousand years... I don't think... 1,000 years ago in Futurama, but this is 5 billion years old, over 5 billion years old, this song, and I just, there's not even a comparison point for us to call that anything.
Right, I mean, like, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna be like, now let's listen to some classical music from the year 5 million, and it's just like...
It's not like we're listening to lithophone music, or what is that cool... There's a song that's like the ancient Roman... song that they have musical knitting for, but this is
piss drinking
from that's the what was it called like Lady Killer, what was that band called?
I don't know.
Sex lady
I don't remember.
Okay. We've never watched Supernatural. She plays Tainted Love, and it's a funny joke for the Futurama movie.
It's on that.
They already did.
So Rose, she's what the... Oh, I didn't get my joke in the notes.
I get it. It's a pretty good one.
Let me read what I read. Right, yeah. Rose looks around at all the weird aliens coming to watch Earth die, and sometimes she feels she's got to bum-bum run away, so she does. She's and I was like, what the fuck does that
bum
mean?
Bum run away. Run away. It's a good one.
No, pretty good joke. It's just I wrote it way too long ago.
We now get the B-plot of this episode, which is the doctor. Because reminder... That the last, this is brand new revival Doctor Who. We don't know what happened to the Time Lords yet. So, Tree Lady, she like scans the Doctor with her scanner from.
I wish I wrote down because she later says what this device is called, and it's the most like generic. She calls it like, this is my machine device.
This is my bio scanner.
Oh, I know TARDIS Wiki will have it. Hold on one sec. You can keep going.
She's trying to figure out what he is, and then once again we get more Kinder Surprise eggs from the meme, the epic memes, And when she sees what the doctor, what it says on her little screen, she's like, no way. Masaka. Got an answer?
Sorry, the website's not working.
Oh, and then I guess in the background, or like one of the eggs that no one's holding, because otherwise they would notice, turns into a little spider and it plays little spider music as it crawls away. So you can imagine.
Can I complain about TARDIS Wiki?
Oh, of course. Always.
So they have separated from fandom. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But the website, well, I searched for Jabe, which is the name of the character.
Her name is Jabe.
And here's the results for that search. Howling, Jabe's death, unnecessary. Now, I assume that's a blog post.
Uh-huh.
Spoilers, by the way, sorry.
Spoilers.
Jabe's grandfather.
Oh, the
Jabe's
tree,
grandfather's the cutting.
Yeah.
Jabe.
They need to cut out the cruft, for sure. Can I also bitch about a wiki really quick that has nothing to do with this show?
Oh, sorry, I found the name of her device.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
She refers to it as the metal machine.
Oh my god, come on. Maybe it's because she's like a tree and it's like, they have very worldly names for things. I don't know. I'm going to bitch about a wiki because I have a platform to do so.
Why has she appeared in a webcast called Osgood and the Thank You Message? Can we fucking leave her alone? She's dead.
She's died. Do you think Osgood does a seance to summon her spirit? Okay, so I've been rereading / audiobooking A Song of Ice and Fire. I do it every couple of years. I'm hoping this time I can get through the whole series before my book melts in the rain. And let me bitch for a second.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a show that I love to keep my phone, my browser handy. If I want to look up a character, get some art of them, something like that.
I'm always going on the wiki.
Oh yeah, the wiki's a great place to be. Unfortunately, well, first of all, there's a bad HBO show. So there's Game of Thrones wiki. That one's no good.
Now what's that?
That's there was a show some clowns made. It was poorly received and nobody talks
like Bozo?
About it. You sort of like Bozo, two Bozos, man.
Huh.
As opposed to the very well-received and very good show of House of the
Now, what's that?
Brave. It's a good show made by some fellow patriots. But like anyway.
Bozo?
Yes, like Bozo complimenter. My point being, if I want to look up the funny character of Cleos Frey, or the hilarious character of Jaime Lannister, I am going to get so many options served up to me. Do I want to go on Game of Thrones wiki? Do I want to go on Ice and Fire wiki? Do I want to go on a wiki of Ice and Fire? Yes, that's the one that I want to go on.
That's the good one. That's
do I want to go on? Do I want to go on Villains wiki for Jaime Lannister? Do I want to go on Heroes wiki for Jaime Lannister? Nobody knows. We need to consolidate. We need to get rid of these wikis. I want the
when
one.
When we did an episode on Villains wiki on Extra Credit, I believe that we found... I think we found a wiki that was like Deuteragonist's wiki.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Did you get to the part with Butterbumps yet?
I love Butterbumps.
Butterbumps, the jester who does hacky sack with his ass cheeks.
I'm on Storm of Swords and I'm almost at the end and that book is so fucking good. No, okay, wait, I'm going to quantify. Wiki of Westeros, Game of Thrones fandom. Wikipedia, there's a page for Jaime Lannister. A wiki of Ice and Fire. A Song of Ice and Fire wiki. Why do these exist?
Just in case. Do you think that this is all, like, wiki drama? Like, someone on a wiki of Ice and Fire was like, fuck you, I'm leaving.
Because somebody was mad that there weren't enough pictures of Cleos Frey, and it was me, and I started my own wiki. It was just pictures of Cleos Frey.
I don't remember Cleos Frey, but I'm sure he sucks. He's a Frey.
Can I give it a controversial opinion? I think the Freys are really funny.
Okay, well.
They're very, very funny.
I mean, they are funny.
Somebody posted... about the phrase in PGOT Discord, the gif of the Wojax hugging, and I have not been able to stop thinking about it ever since. Okay, can we go back to our funny Doctor Who podcast?
Run away. So the meme lords offer the blue guy a silver egg.
And then later, we see one egg.
That'll be important later. Did we mention that Jabe, the tree lady, the metal machine, she used it to scan.
Yeah, Masaka,
it, we'll come back
Masaka,
to that later.
Masaka. And then, we see the egg turn into a spider and climb away in a little spider music.
Oh, no. So Rose
hey,
goes off
on her own.
Can we
talk about how much Rose stares at the sun in this episode?
Well, they have special windows, they're not going to be like, come watch the sun explode
no, Mr.
and not
President.
Have protective glass.
It's a great sun. I love the sun. I love to look at the sun.
Just
nobody
giving a
looks,
thumbs up to the sun as it explodes.
Nobody looks at the sun like I do. It's a beautiful sun.
So, a blue lady who is working on the station walks by and finds Rose staring at the sun. And, you know, Rose...
This is about inequality. She's like,
yeah, oh, it's about inequality, but also this is kind of dumb because Rose is like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I not supposed to be in here? And the blue lady is like, I'm sorry. If you want me to speak, you'll have to give me permission. And Rose is like, oh, yeah, please speak. And the blue lady's like, yeah, you're okay. Guests are allowed anywhere. Why would, if you were asked a question, why would you be expected to not answer it?
Excuse me, could I, could you show me where the bathroom is?
Is that Jeremy of me?
I think we're being very Jeremy this week, but I think we're allowed to be because it's our show.
And I like the episode. Her name is Ruffalo. She's Mark doing Ruffalo. Maintenance to find out why the face of Bo isn't getting any hot water. Help him!
He needs to take his nightly bath. He's not going to clean his nose without a
I mean, he's always taking a bath.
Yeah, there's stuff that just doesn't... I don't know. She talks about where she's from. Rose says that...
She's from Crispalion. Yeah, she right says a bunch of space obabble.
She says it's right on to the west of Rex Corcofalbatorius and Klom.
It's in Tittleman's Crest.
And then Rose is like, yeah, I got a ride here from a weird northern man.
Yeah, as she's talking to Ruffalo about, like, where she comes from, you know, she starts to realize, maybe I shouldn't be here. I feel like this is kind of a weird situation I've got myself in when you really think about it. Ruffalo thanks her for being considerate and for letting her speak and talking to her and stuff.
I'm so glad to be alive after talking to you, young lady.
Yeah, so then Rose leaves. Ruffalo pokes her head into the maintenance shaft, and the spiders are in there, and they pull her into the shaft, and she's dead.
Meanwhile, the steward, who's the main blue guy that we saw at the beginning of the episode, which was like 5 minutes ago, he's in his room with his desk, and he's like, remember, everybody, no teleportation. This will come up later.
Yeah, they bring that up a bunch of times. Teleportation devices are prohibited under Peace Treaty 5.4/Cup/16. So there's
25 minutes to Earth death.
So Rose has the grandpa cutting and the egg, and she tries talking to the grandpa cutting, saying that a rose is sort of a plant. Oh, no, she says a rose is a sort of plant. Okay, fine. But she's like, we might be related.
Ding! Well, Rose, come on, what does that mean?
Rose is wrong.
Rose is aware that she is not a rose.
So the spider crawls out of the egg... but it hides as the doctor walks in, and this is
another moment. Did you talk about
moment.
The doctor getting a parking ticket for his...
Oh, yeah, he does get... Well, yeah. It's a valet ticket.
Oh!
Yeah. They take the TARDIS.
Your ship?
Which doesn't really come up. This isn't one of those episodes where it's like, oh, no, the TARDIS is gone. It's literally just valet parked. But anyway, so we get another moment like we did in Planet of the Ood, where... Rose is like, oh my god, the aliens are just so weird, it's too much for me. And the doctor's like, good thing I didn't take you to the deep south.
Get his ass, get their asses. Get their asses, doctor.
Rose show is him, racist.
Show him who's boss.
And we learn about the telepathic field of the TARDIS. We've heard of this, we don't need to talk about it. And she's like, oh, I don't know how comfortable I am with your machine going into my brain and controlling my thoughts. And he's like, oh, I guess I never thought about it that way. And she says, no, you were too busy thinking up cheap shots about the Deep South.
I like that Rose is a Deep South racism defender.
Well, it's the same thing that Donna said when she was like, yes, I live in a world with slavery. Yes, I'm wearing clothes made by slaves. But... no, I don't want to think about it. Fuck you.
To be fair... Donna does benefit from slavery, and I don't think Rose has any connection to Deep South.
Well, no, she owns a plantation.
I forgot about that, baby. I forgot that was mentioned. Where in episode one, when she is like, oh, Jackie says, you know, we're really doing, we don't have a lot of money, not until the legal arrangements are sorted out and you inherit that plantation.
Rose, no!
Rose!
Don't inherit it! So, they, she asks him what kind of alien he is, and he says, you wouldn't know my planet anyway, it doesn't matter.
What is it? No, we're gonna keep moving.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's, like, kind of refusing to talk about himself, and she's now started to get very concerned about the fact that a weird guy who won't tell her anything about himself brought her here to watch her planet be destroyed.
And then this is the first episode that introduces being able to call people from using the TARDIS as like a signal. So she calls Jackie. So that's this automatically makes it an S-tier episode because mm-hmm. our favorite Jackie's. Mm-hmm. And Jackie accuses her of being hungover because she's like in mild shock about the whole.
Well, the thing is, she's like, "Mom, what day is it?" Jackie's right. like, "Are you hungover?
Where am I? When am I?"
Jackie says,
"I'm not shopping for a new coffee table.
Could you put a pound in the lottery for me? I'll pay you back." I wish that I had written down the context of this line. Do you remember? I just wrote out of context. You think that's amazing? You'll want to see the bill.
I don't remember.
You don't know. It must be for the coffee table.
Maybe it's like the phone bill when she's calling from a billion years or something. I don't know.
So Rose then just kind of starts thinking like, "Mom, do you ever think about how you're going to be dead 5 billion years in the future?"
No.
Or maybe she says that to the doctor. I didn't write these notes intending to watch to talk about this episode 2 weeks later.
Oops.
They get turbulence, which the doctor does point out is not supposed to happen.
We cut back to the steward who's like, "Well, we are."
That's not good.
Well, that's bad. This has never happened to me. This is my biggest fear in life is when the pilot comes on the intercom, says, "Oh, you know, we're encountering a little rough patch of turbulence. Keep your seatbelt fastened." He thinks the thing goes off.
Well, I think the thing that you need to be afraid of is when what you hear is, "Hey, we're just a little bit of turbulence.
The thing you need to be afraid of is when you hear that you're flying Boeing, am I right?" Oh, topical.
So he's like, you know, I've worked on all these different space stations. I've never felt turbulence. The rich people are going to sue the company. Oh, no.
There's nothing to turbule in outer space. It's a vacuum.
Exactly. So then the spider in his office, the metal spider from the metal egg, climbs onto his desk and pushes a single button, which then deactivates the sun filter.
Killing you, button activated.
Immediately, the window, like, the screen drops down and he catches on fire and explodes. I feel like that button should maybe have, like, a cover on it or maybe not exist.
The last two would just sit down on his desk and he accidentally pressed the button.
We go back to the room with all the guests. I don't know if you caught, we hear somebody mumbling, "Indubitably, this is the Bad Wolf scenario."
Oh, it's a reference to...
Whatever that is. Still don't know.
Something about, did they hit a Mavity pocket?
I still don't know why you're saying Mavity.
I don't either.
Okay, great.
And then Jabe the tree is gonna join the party to help.
Yeah, the doctor asks Jabe what she thinks if maybe something happened with like the metallic structure of the ship, and Jabe is like, "Please, I don't know anything about
metal.
I'm a tree. Now, to be fair, there are many humans who know about metal.
Okay, but are we not metal?
What?
No, we are Devo.
What the fuck?
Huh?
Why did you say that?
Because there's an album called like.
No, I know that there's an album. Okay, but you know the doctor, he knows about metal and he's not a robot.
Listen, you have to understand, you have to understand that I'm very tired.
What if there was a doctor like the 16th or 17th doctor played by Diane Morgan, and it was a robot?
I can't wait for Diane Morgan to be the doctor. It's gonna be so good.
So she offers to show him the maintenance shaft near the tree people's suite, and they can look into what's going on. She says something like, "Oh, your wife here," and Rose is like, "Your mistress, concubine, prostitute." And then Rose gets really mad and says, "Go pollinate each other."
Oh, here's a really like 2004
extremely
joke.
Of its time.
I don't even she know. Says, who, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I want to say. It's pretty bad.
I'm gonna go have a word with Michael Jackson over there.
Oh my god, thank you, Russell.
Cassandra, because, wow. Yeah.
So now we get maintenance shaft time.
I want to talk about the maintenance shaft.
I love
the maintenance shaft. Yeah. Is ludicrous. The maintenance shaft is a Star Wars space station hallway. Just vast and, like, spacious hallway.
It does have the ceremonial fans.
With a metal walkway. And yes, We learn that this hallway, this walkway that they're on, is through the air conditioning system, and there are giant spinning fans that, for literally no reason, cut across the walkway like 5 or 6 times.
It's to make sure that there's tension as you're trying to get to the other side.
And then what's on the other side of the walkway is a big column with one switch. And what does that switch do, Jordan?
Radial tracking map.
It turns the shields back on.
Listen, you can turn the shields back on, but you really gotta want it.
This is, I would say, the stupid thing about this episode. I really, really like this episode. But the moment you see this hallway and the fans, you're like, well, they're gonna have to walk across that walkway.
Have you ever played Metal Gear Solid? Did you know the Metal Gear games? Have you ever played Metal Gear 4, my favorite one?
No, I've never played that one. I played a very small amount of Metal Gear Solid, and that's it.
Love Metal Gear.
But actually, I did play a few hours of 5, the second Metal Gear Solid 5, and I...
that one's...
It wasn't... I don't think it's for me.
Metal Gear 4 has a really great section where you have to crawl down a hallway of microwaves that cooks you while you go down it. And
so I did watch my friend Croy streaming that, twitch.tv/GameCroy. And I believe that he and everyone in the chat who knows Metal Gear Solid, I think they were all sobbing during that scene.
I think Metal Gear 4 is an amazing and very funny video.
And then there was a full hour and a half long cutscene.
I love Metal
and
Gear
I'm not
so
exaggerating.
No,
for anyone who hasn't played it, there is an hour and a half long cutscene.
There's a 90-minute cutscene at the end of that game.
Look.
So fucking good. I love
it. I'm not a Metal Gear guy. However, I will say for what it's worth, Death Stranding is one of my favorite games of all time. So I'm not going to say that I don't approve. I was just surprised.
It's great. My point is that the doctor's going to have to go down the microwave hallway if he wants to turn the shield on.
Yeah, basically. We learn.
Oh, now they do. Now they do Titanic. Like, it's also the Titanic. It's a lot. The ship is a lot of things.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, because she says that there's no like staff here besides like the staff. Like,
yeah,
we don't. But really she says that everything is controlled by the metal mind, and nobody from the corporation is actually here because the platform is fully automated. And the doctor says, "So you're saying it's unsinkable?" And she says, "Oh, so yeah,
nothing,
that's a good word for it.
Nothing to do with what you were talking about before, but okay."
And then he says, I was on an unsinkable ship once. And folks.
Remember? That was referenced in the last episode. I once watched JFK's head explode once.
Yeah. And then he says, are you telling me there's nobody here to help if anything goes wrong? And she says, that's right. And he says,
fantastic.
Fantastic. So that's the segment for the week.
Now we get, okay, so this is, now we get Cassandra. This is where she says, haha, I'm used to, when I was a little boy, I lived on Earth. Haha. And then she talks about, and then this is where we learn that there are still humans, but they're like human to stay human.
She's like, I'm the last pure human.
Yeah.
Like there's people calling themselves new humans, proto humans, digi humans, and humanish.
I'm really interested in them.
But she despises them. She thinks they're disgusting.
Because
they like to get freaky with aliens.
Yeah.
She's talking about Jack Harkness specifically.
Right. And then she's like, I've had so many operations, I'm getting my blood bleached next week. Get rid of those those veins. I mean, I do think that would be an improvement.
I will say, Cassandra doesn't really seem to have any thoughts about the fact that she's talking to Rose.
I know! Well, I mean, this is the point. Yeah, I don't know what she thinks Rose is, because she's not a demi-human.
Yeah, maybe we're just so far in the future that humans don't look like Rose anymore.
I don't know.
Because I had kind of been assuming up to this point that Cassandra, like, was born as a human that we think of and then became this thing, but I guess that's not what happened.
Maybe every human is a skin lady.
See, that's what's kind of weird, is that if Rose, to her, is unrecognizable as a human, I do think that kind of undercuts a lot of what we're seeing of her, because we don't know what she used to look like,
I was thinking about this as I watched the episode, and genuinely, I just feel like they just were like, we're not going to touch on it. I don't think it's supposed to be like humans were unrecognizable. I think the whole point is that there are still humans. It's just that Cassandra's like racist.
Maybe she's just assuming that Rose is an android or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Rose, Cassandra is like, oh, did you want to talk about options for getting rid of your stupid chin? And Rose says, I'd rather die than become a bitchy trampoline, which is a pretty good line.
That's a pretty good one.
Rose says that she's the only human being in this room, which is true.
It is true. You can't be a human if you're a skin trampoline, I'm sorry.
That's a skin lady. I know what I'm looking at.
We have the name for it. Okay, so now we're back in the really cool, in multiple ways, hallway. And the doctor's like, why are you here, at this extravagant gala of...
It really ultimately doesn't matter. She's basically just like, oh, it's good to be seen at events like this for the business. That's pretty much all that's going on.
And then
this is where she says, I couldn't believe what the metal machine said about your ancestry. I'm so sorry. She puts a hand on his arm. He doesn't say anything, but he seems
I'm so sorry, Mr. President.
I'm so sorry, Mr. President. Rose, meanwhile, sees the adherents of the repeated meme. And one of them just smacks her in the face with a big metal hand and knocks her out instantly. So Rose is not having the best day of her life.
And then we go back to Doctor and Jabe, and they see a spider, and Jabe grabs it with her vines, and somebody out there really got a kick out of that, I bet.
He says, nice liana, which is a type of woody vine, apparently.
Put that in my mental brain.
I'm not supposed to show them in public.
That'll definitely be in the crossword one of these days.
the countdown has reached 10 minutes. Earth is going to be dead in 10
Cassandra,
minutes.
Cassandra, she's so like, let's enjoy the final moments of the Earth with a ceremonial ballad. And then Britney Spears, toxic. The doctor finds the steward's office and sees smoke
pouring out from under the door.
Uh-huh.
He checks a maintenance panel. This isn't super important. We don't need to get into this. Yeah. But basically, he finds that the sun filters across the station are about to start coming down.
They're all going to get cooked.
And the spiders are behind it.
And then the doctor fixes it.
So Rose wakes up on this observation deck from earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the sun filter starts coming down. And it's pretty intense. Like, we're just watching this, like... perfectly sharp edge descend as like all the wall above her head is like being immediately burnt black by the sun, and it's just getting closer and closer and closer. And I will say, I'm sorry I'm being so CinemaSins, but there's a little staircase in the room, and she's at the top of the stairs and she's like lying flat on the ground to try to avoid the sun. Why didn't she go to the bottom of the stairs?
Can I be a CinemaSins? Why didn't she just hold up a silver platter and deflect the light back?
Well, then she would kill the sun and it would explode.
And we haven't gotten to that episode
I guess yet. That is exactly what it's doing, come to think of it.
We're going to learn that the sun is a big testicle. And what if we had to kill the sun, and it's a metaphor for getting your dick snipped?
Yeah, and then a mining ship comes by and starts scooping.
I forgot about the unlicensed scooping.
No, they're scooping!
They're scooping our beautiful son.
So, what if that turned out to be the motivation in this? Is like, we have to kill the people on the space station so they don't see us scooping the sun. One last scoop! Well, we still can. Anyway, he brings the sun filter back up right before Rose dies.
Saving the day.
But then it starts descending again, and now Rose is lying on the floor again, and the doctor just jams the sonic screwdriver into the wall, which is fun to see, and the sun filter goes back up, but he's like, I can't get the door open, I'm gonna find a way to help you. Jabe informs the rest of the guests that the spiders have infiltrated the whole platform, and the steward is dead, and then Cassandra just goes, the face of Bo invited us here, it's his fault!
No, not my face! Not my piece of bow. Not Bo. He just wanted hot water.
Jordan.
Bowing? No.
Okay. Unrelated. Not his fault. It's not his fault that the planes are falling apart.
Are you sure you don't know what's going on with the face of Bo?
I don't even know what you're referring to. So
if we got to a fun face of Bo fact episode and we did learn it, can someone message me on Tumblr so I know that Sam didn't forget?
I'm pretty sure that we just know about Gridlock. I don't think we've seen Bo before, besides Gridlock.
Okay. You didn't get to the episode where the Doctor finds a book that says the face of Bo is the Doctor so far into the future that he turned into a big face? Oh, shit. I'm sorry, everybody. Jordan. That's a... I hope you know that's a joke.
Jordan!
What if that's what the face of Bo is?
And starring Diane Morgan as the face of Bo.
Okay, so, the Doctor grabs a spider and reverses its polarity to make it walk back to the person that it deployed.
Yeah, that's not really... He really just picks it up, and I think he actually just picks up one of the spiders and says, go back to your master, and then it does.
It walks over to the adherents of the repeated meme, and who say me gusta, and then it's revealed that they're robots.
Can I ask really quick, why did one of the adherents of the repeated meme punch Rose in the face and throw her onto the observation deck?
I think it's because the person who is controlling the robots just got into a heated argument and was insulted by Rose. And so the robots were...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, there actually is a reason for that. Okay, never mind.
That's my best guess.
I think you're right, because the Doctor rips one of the arms of the adherents off.
I love this part where the robot crawls over to the adherents of the repeated meme, and then the Doctor's like, aha! And then he's like, no, these are also robots. Go find your real...
A meme is just a repeated idea.
Go find your real master. And then it walks over to...
It was Cassandra the whole time, and then Cassandra, upon being revealed as the villain, just goes, I bet you were never kissed in school.
And then she commands her attendants to spray them all down with acid, which I'm going to say, have you ever seen Nathan For You where he has the peristaltic pump that either dispenses, if you flip the switch one way, it dispenses delicious chili, and if you flip the switch the other way, it dispenses from a different hose his own excrement in urine. And then he says, this mistake would be too costly. I have to scrap this design. Cassandra's like, I would, one setting sprays me with life-saving moisturizer, and the other setting sprays my enemies with acid. Please do
not mess this
up.
I really couldn't tell if the reveal was that she's moisturized with acid, or if it really is just like,
no,
the gun does both.
The gun does both.
And you want to make sure you flush it out
really
real
good
before you start spraying the moisturizer again.
So we find out that Cassandra originally wanted to just hold the station hostage for money.
Yeah, and yeah, take the... Yeah.
So she could become flatter.
They would pay the ransom to the adherents of the repeated meme or whatever, and then the money would, of course, just go right back to her. Because it's expensive to be this flat.
She already is this flat, but she's got to spend all that money on moisturizer. And acid.
Oh, and no, she... Okay.
This is the part
to what I was questioning earlier.
She's
like, that freaky little kid you have isn't the last human. I am. So she does know that Rose is a human.
She's aware.
There you go.
And then she says, by the way, I own shares in all your companies, and when you die, the stock price goes up. That's how stock works.
Yeah, usually when the top executives die unexpectedly, it's really good for the stock prices.
Well, okay, but I'm thinking about Elon Musk, and that might actually be true. Well.
No.
Oh, come on. I feel like, okay.
You think that if Elon Musk died, Tesla
first
stock
of all,
would
first
explode?
First of all, everybody listening. Hold that image in your mind and enjoy it for a second. Second of all, I don't think Tesla stock would, but I do think Twitter stock might.
Twitter doesn't have stock. It's not publicly traded.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, finance boy. I'm sorry I didn't know enough about finance to know about the stock market. Go trade your... Go look at your imaginary numbers, finance boy.
I'm not...
No. Buy, sell, funny money.
I mean, I don't understand finance that much. I'm just saying it isn't.
Go DRS to MOAS.
You don't even know enough about finance to tell me what to go do.
I only know about it because I watched that Dan Olsen video. It's a great video.
It's a great video.
Okay, so
this is
so,
financial advice of the video. Check it out.
So then I guess we only got that setup about teleportation being illegal so we can be all the more outraged when Cassandra... Is there no law she's not willing
to
break?
I think the more salient point is that nobody else has a teleportation device and she does.
Is there no low she won't stoop to? This psycho is teleporting when there was a rule against
She's
it.
An absolute
we
psychopath. I do like her line here when she tells the spiders to deactivate the force fields. She goes, At least it'll be quick, just like my fifth husband. Oh, shame on me. Which, I don't know if that means that he died very quickly.
I'm assuming it means he didn't last very, as in, like, sexual.
As a husband.
Sexual, as they say these days.
Because she's just so sexual that it's so great. It was so great for him.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you?
I mean, we've all seen.
Wouldn't you explode in seconds if you were looking at a flat sheet of skin pulled over a rack?
It's very similar to what happened in that one episode.
Which one?
This would be better if I remembered the name of the episode. Love and Monsters.
Love and Monsters. I was thinking about that when we were talking about Jackie because I remembered she was in that one, and I love that she's so.
Rusty
good in that
has
one.
A real thing for flat women. Not that I said that, and not that I would ever say that.
No.
So she and the moisturizer men teleport away, and the Doctor and Jabe go to find the manual controls to reactivate the force fields, and oh, what a shame. Oh no, why would they put them at the end of the fan hallway?
Oh, we saw the shield, and then there's a little thermostat. Oh golly.
And then Jabe, so I think that what's going on here is that in the fan hallway, there is a lever that you can pull, and as long as you hold it down, the fans stop.
This is some real co-op video game bullshit right here.
But if you hold the thing down, then the hallway starts to heat up because the fans turn off, and she's made of wood. So, oh no.
Can I be Jeremy Cinemansons again, just for a second? Can I indulge myself?
Is it really necessary to explain how stupid this is?
I was just gonna say that the flashpoint of wood and the temperature at which a man would be very uncomfortable and on fire are not that far apart. It's not like if the room gets so hot. Like,
that's true, because I believe she does incinerate.
Like if she's on fire, he's on fire. Let them in.
Bring him inside.
Bring him inside. So she basically sacrifices herself to save all these rich pricks who probably deserve to die. And also, she's also a rich prick, so she also probably deserves to check it.
Also,
I can't say that. I'm sorry, Joe.
Also, the Doctor really takes his sweet fucking time, doesn't he?
Well, no, because the fans are slowed down, but they're not that slow, so he does have to, like, time his jumps like a video game. This is a very video game segment. She slowed them down. No. She slowed them down. Listen.
Can I be Jeremy Cinnamon?
Yes, of course. I will indulge you.
Why don't they even stop? They don't even stop.
They slow down, because they're going, like, imagine you're playing a video game where you have some sort of stasis, like maybe a Dead Space, or that's the one I can think of.
Psychonauts 2,
and they're spinning so fast. But it's still an obstacle. Like, you still have to dodge it, but it's not just, it's going, you can see the blades.
That's true. This area was designed for the Doctor Who Xbox game. This was...
It got cut from the game, but they reused it for the show. And also, Jabe is like, I'm willing to die don't waste time, you beautiful Time Lord.
Yeah, I don't really know why she... I guess she's just a nice person.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because she is prepared to and does die for the rest of these people.
And then there's like the this made no sense. I kind of had a moment of confusion here where the last fan is going so fast, and it's like, how is he going to get through? And then he sort of just like closes his eyes and does it, and it probably plays the Rusty era like mysterious choral version of no, not that. The one that's like whenever dramatic moments happen, and it plays the like lady singing the Doctor Who theme. No, the one where she's like. The Doctor Who theme. Yeah, the Doctor, thinking about what would Master Chief do in this situation, finds the strength within himself to get through the last fan and save the station. Unfortunately, he couldn't save Jabe. She died. Rest in peace. He rests in pile. He doesn't even get a cutting of her. So sad.
But
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna have some great nutrients for the soil.
Can I be Jeremy Cinnamonsons for a second?
Why?
I just wanted to ask permission. I don't actually have anything to say right now. I just wanted to know I could.
You just want to live his life.
I want to walk his path. I want to bask in the light of his
sins. Anyway, so he turns the shields back on, and also the ship system. It sort of just realizes, like, oh, I have problems, and just starts like fixing the broken windows and stuff. So Rose is not dead. He goes back to the main room. Everyone's crying and dying, and he tells the trees about Jabe, and they start crying too. Rose comes in and is like, "Doctor, are you all right?" And he's furious, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm bristling with ideas." And what he's talking about is killing Cassandra.
Listen, we know the Doctor is full of wrath. It's one of his better qualities.
I know, this is so wild though, because he, you know, he's like, the teleportation would need some kind of feed. It's got to be hidden nearby. He smashes open the ostrich egg. It turns out it's fake. There is a teleportation device in it. He brings Cassandra back in the middle of saying, "You should have seen their faces." And then she sees that she's back and goes, "You passed my test."
And then, oh, she says, he's like, "You killed people." And she says, "Oh, what are people? That'll keep your lawyer busy for centuries."
I don't think so. I think that in the year 5 billion Apple whatever, I think that the lawyers have probably figured out that a guy who is blue is still a guy.
You cannot kill that guy. Now, unfortunately for Cassandra, the Doctor did summon her back without her moisturizers. This is probably the most memorable scene in this episode, is Cassandra going, "Wait, moisturize me, please.
I'm drying out. And he's like, "Well, you're the one who raised the temperature." And Rose is like, "Oh my god, help her." And he says to her the same thing that he said about the Earth earlier that we didn't mention, which is, "Everything has its time, Rose. Everything dies."
Sort of a juxtaposition of when he says everybody lives, now he's saying everybody dies.
Oh, so and he just coldly watches as Cassandra dries out, she gets pulled taut and snaps into pieces.
Just truly horrible. And now is my time, which I've been very much looking forward to for a very long time, to talk about the iconic and beautiful and incredible Doctor Who action figure. The Doctor Who action figure series 2 posable action figure set destroyed Cassandra. So this was bundled. There was a toy version that was bundled with one of her moisturizers, I think. No, it's from another, it's another thing, which is a highly detailed posable figure that was bundled with Lady Cassandra. Maybe this is the moisturizer. And then you could also just buy the Lady Cassandra, just the rack by itself with no Lady Cassandra on it, by itself. I could buy it right now for 16 quid.
That's actually cheaper than I would expect it to be.
I mean, if I had to assume, I would say that nobody in the entire world bought this action figure, so there's a lot of them knocking around that are not in.
Sure, I guess I just assumed that it would be like a novelty that would have some value for that, considering how old it is, but I guess nobody gives a fuck.
What an incredible
I mean,
toy.
To be fair, it is a small piece of square plastic with no character.
It says posable on the box!
Which is very funny.
The really funny part is that you can see Cassandra on the box in a picture, which in my opinion is deceptive marketing. Ooh. There's a really
Well, they need you to at least know what it's supposed to be.
Hold on, look at this one. Check this one out. I'm going to send you a picture. Take a look at this. Tell me what you think of this one. This is 22 quid right now. Bids.
Oh my god, it's Pretzer Traubum.
That's a good ass pretzel, and I love the sort of wood grain on that plastic TARDIS. It looks great. And look at
Can
Trestle.
I say also how fascinating it is to me, because the Doctor himself is in color, but the TARDIS is black and white, and that makes me wonder, did they not know that it was supposed to be blue at the time?
Okay, can I counter that point? Have you seen what action figures looked like back in the day? There's no way this toy was from the 1960s. Have you seen what the Star Wars action figure?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
This is a newer creation. I really like the look of that action figure, TARDIS. And one more for me to send to you. Did you see them? I sent you a picture of a real fucking sicko.
Is that Colin?
That's Colin, a real murderer.
We've still never seen the Sixth Doctor.
No, Terminus kind of killed our momentum. And by that, I mean,
no, scheduling was
my
hard.
Difficult life, my difficult work. We'll get to it soon.
We'll get to it very soon.
Okay, so Cassandra has died in one of the more memorable Doctor Who deaths that we've ever seen, in my opinion.
So everyone is basically leaving. Rose is still staring at the shattered remains of the Earth.
Yeah, and the Earth was destroyed while no one was looking.
Basically. Yeah, nobody was even watching when Earth was destroyed. And, that's when Rose is
like, why don't we just go back a few seconds so we can...
So they go back to the TARDIS. They return to 2005 London, and the Doctor reveals to Rose that his planet is gone too. It burned like the Earth, just rocks and dust. Gone before its time.
Unless you watch like 600 different episodes where it's still there, but maybe he doesn't know right now. Ever since once the singing man got to it, it was all over. He explains that he would have already been
the war doctor. I don't remember what happened there. He forgot. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
There was a big war and it was lost. And remember that this is new plot points that people watching the show didn't know yet. When you tuned in and you're like, oh, Doctor Who's back. And then he says, they all died all the time. War the last.
Yeah, one. She says, who was the war with? And he doesn't answer. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm the last surviving Time Lord. That's why I travel alone, because there's nobody else. And Rose says, there's me.
I'm a Time Lord now.
And he says, do you want to keep traveling with me now that you know how dangerous it can be? And she says, I don't know. But then she gets distracted by the smell of chips and says, if you buy me some, I'll go with you on some more adventures. And he says, I'm sorry, I have no money. And she says, fine, I'll buy them for me and I will go with you.
And they've got 5 billion years before the shops close. It's a little joke.
And they walk off together laughing.
It is so funny to me that the Doctor doesn't have, like, a TARDIS coin dispenser or something.
Next time on Doctor Who, the Doctor takes Rose to 1860, and there's a dead woman, and she's not dead, but she is screaming, and she is blue, and Charles Dickens is here, and the Doctor sees a ghost and says, that's more like it.
So we know that ghosts are ladies time traveling.
That was only the one time.
What is it going to be this time?
Cybermen.
All right.
That was such a good episode, though. Like, you know, nitpicks aside. Hyde? Series one.
Or this one was good.
This episode.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hyde.
This episode was great.
I like this episode.
I love when we get to see the Doctor being wrong, you know?
Yeah, I love the Doctor, like, in his own, like, to the Doctor, he's just being, like, an asshole. He did not mean to give Rose an existential crisis, but he definitely did give Rose an existential crisis.
Yeah, because he's so lonely that he's like, I need this girl to come with me, which is why when she's like kind of playfully disinterested in 12,005 Roman whatever, he's like, well, I have to show you the most thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Because he also, I think there's a part of it where he, like, needs to be able to relate to her and have her be able to relate to him. And what if your I think got that toasted? The Ninth Doctor and Rose...
They're so good.
I think that Stephen Moffat really wanted to recreate this kind of, like, it's, like, really teetering on toxic relationship. Uh-huh. And I think Stephen Moffat wanted to recreate that with Clara and the 12th Doctor, but... You know, it's like, we don't need the Doctor locking himself in a time prison for 3 billion years. Because he's already sad and lonely and desperate. And Rose is like, I'm sick of my boring life. I want to go on an adventure with a mysterious spaceman.
Yeah, reminder that at this point in the storyline, the Doctor is like 900. Which is old, but it's not that old.
But like, the fact that he was trying to impress her by showing her the destruction of her planet is so pathetic and so desperate. But
this is what I'm saying is so much better about the Davies era is that we're not always supposed to be jerking off the Doctor. We get to see his flaws a lot instead of like just thinking that he's the coolest, most specialist.
He used to be an interesting character in his own right.
Right.
What happened?
To be fair, I think that Peter Capaldi Doctor has plenty of moments.
That's true, but then you have moments like
they're offset
3 billion years that ruins it by being too stupid. Yeah.
But this episode is really good. What grade would you give it? Are we gonna
I would give it an A.
I think I would give it an A.
I think if the fan hallway wasn't so stupid, I think this easily could have been an A+. Oh, you know what?
I'm gonna bump it down to an A- for that's a fan hallway joke. And I might do I want to bump it down to a B+ for 2004 era funny transphobia? Nah, I'll be merciful today. A-.
Yeah, they didn't really like linger on it.
Yeah, yeah, it was just a little. I have definitely heard that joke before.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, great episode.
Do we have do we have any awards to give out this week? Companion Awards? Oh
god, I feel like it's been 100 years.
I don't think Rose gets the Sarah Jane Award for Companion Initiative. I don't think anyone gets any awards for doing 6 stunts or eating shit in a comical fashion. Nobody. The Doctor kills somebody, but that's he can't get the Leela Cross.
I don't know that there's any awards to give out this week.
I don't really think Rose gets a gold star for anything she did. I mean, I kind of appreciate her standing up to Cassandra, but he'll give her a gold star.
Do we put a strike on his record?
No, I think when he killed Cassandra was really cool.
First, do harm.
I mean, there are a few times where, I don't think I want to be like, the Doctor is so cool when he fucking kills people. But I do think sometimes when the Doctor, kills people, it can be fun and interesting and characterful. Like when David Tennant says, no second chances, that's the kind of guy I am. And he kills the Sycorax. That was pretty
Jordan,
cool. Yeah.
This is a segment called Excellent Eccleston.
Do we have a fucking code phrase for this? I wasn't ready for this. I haven't been practicing.
We did get a fantastic from him. I mean, the trouble is I watched this episode so long ago that I don't remember how he said anything.
Fantastic.
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 There we go. That's our baseline. It wasn't very good. Whatever.
That was so Capaldi of you.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I don't know.
I've got a
it was so long ago, Jordan.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's been so long.
There's only one thing I care about right now.
Which Doctor?
Which Doctor?
We haven't watched a show in a minute, so I feel like the world is our oyster. And the fact that Shudigabo is an option is so, funny and tempting to me. But it would be such bad radio if I just, for the next, 2 years, was just like, Shudigabo, 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 Shudigabo.
I do need to look up, because I don't know how many episodes of his have come out at this point.
I don't
point.
Think any episodes. I think they haven't started yet, have they? I feel like if they had started yet, I would have heard.
So the first one aired on Christmas, and the next one's
Well, okay. Yeah, it was the Christmas, but it's not.
Well, I wasn't sure if I needed to update the spreadsheet.
No. Okay. The series hasn't started yet.
Which Doctor, Jordan?
I don't know why, but the whisperings on the wind guide me to say, I want to see Matt Smith, and I want to see Amy and Rory.
Okay. When was our last Jodie?
It's been a minute, isn't it? We haven't seen Jodie in a while.
It was
Village of the Angels.
Yeah, that was episode 45.
It's been
a
while.
This is our 58th. So it's been a minute.
Man.
I've been asking for Jodie for a while now, and I'm still asking for Jodie. You're asking for Smith. What do we got? It's a David Tennant, series 3, episode 11, Utopia.
Wait a minute. Don't look for a second.
I'm just gonna look where that is. Utopia. Okay, so it's a Martha. Oh, it's right after Blink.
Hold on a second. Okay, I thought that the funniest thing could have possibly happened was about to happen, but no, I was thinking of a different.
This is the episode right after Blink. Is it? Oh, okay. It looks like this is part one of a 3-parter to end series 3.
Yeah, look at that. Interesting. Oh, wait a minute. This one. Wait, hold on. This one's the one that leads into the sound of the drums?
Yeah,
which this is the one that leads to the Harold Saxon arc.
So yeah, series 3, it's Utopia, The Sound of Drums, then Last of the Time Lords. Then we go into the 5 specials in a row, I think. No. Where the fuck Planet of the Dead and all that. That's after series 4. I'm so lost.
Yeah. This is the beginning of the finale of this season. That'll be fun.
Looks like good reviews. We got Martha, I assume. Yeah, we got Martha. Oh, we got Jack Harkness.
I think that this era of the show is typically just pretty good. There's few fumbles. We saw the werewolves one that sucked.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, I remember this character. There's a character I remember. Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I remember this guy vaguely. Haha. Okay.
Nice. Well, that's it for this week, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
We are on. Wait, what's the order? Patreon. Do I do Patreon?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
no,
Patreon.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
been
yeah,
so
yeah.
long.
Patreon.
Patreon.com/pottingbros. If you like this podcast, give us money, please. Money. $1 gets you a mildly special role in our Discord server, marking you as a friend of the show. You get all of our bonus content soon. Hopefully, we will have a chance to record the second and final half of our episodes on the 5th Doctor serial, Terminus, where we're pretty sure that Nyssa dies. Who cares? Sorry, that was mean. $5 gets you a pretty special Discord role, marking you as a companion of the show. You can send us a message that will read one of our funny voices. You get a shout out on the podcast. And that's it. $10 gets you an incredibly special Discord role, marking you as an honorary member of House Misusa. That's gotten pretty old, and yet it's not going to change. You get all that. You can listen to the podcast live while we record it, and we will clap for you. Thank you to our $5 and $10 subscribers. Caroline Siebert, Cassidy, Faustian Bargainbin, Helga K, JCH, Roy, Stephanie Bolding, Stephanie Karen, Violet Magician, and House Misusa, Destry Hawk, HK, Sauceworks, and Verdigris. Yay! I feel like my energy is very different. I have a morning energy, Jordan. Is that okay?
It's 8:46 on my clock.
Yes.
It's same. A weird time to be recording this.
This is weird.
It's very funny because you caught me after a long 10-hour shift, and normally you catch me moments after I woke up.
And you caught me a couple hours after I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, sort of the witching hour.
Sort of the witching hour. It's the witching hour of 8:47.
Which kind of bagel am I getting?
It's the plane. We are on co-host at Dr. Huh. I'm on co-host at Positive Stress, and you can listen to my other podcast, Sounds About Light, where we are currently talking about Kingdom Hearts 3. We just recorded our episode on the Toy Story world, and it was a great time.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is a great game.
I've been doing a little bit of streaming. I'm streaming Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm on critical mode. If you want to come check that out, twitch.tv/positive stress. It's not going well.
It's not going well?
It's hard. It's really
streaming?
Hard.
Streaming is hard? What are you doing? I've missed
critical mode on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, yeah. That sounds unpleasant.
It's fun, but I literally died like 7 times to the tutorial dark side boss.
My God. You can find me on Tumblr at Kiwami Breakfast, and you can listen to Kamen Rojo Radio. It's a podcast about the Yakuza game series.
And we're hosted on Noisepace.xyz. Let me try that again with words. And we're hosted on Noisepace.xyz, the podcast network, with a bunch of podcasts like Say One.
Say One, I've never heard of that one.
Oh.
Pot of Greed about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Tuning Fork about Pitchfork and music.
Listen to Gay Friends Chainsaw Dog Sanctuary about Chainsaw Man.
Listen to Forward ReZero, Season 3 of ReZero, coming soon.
Oh, I'm ready to feel bad.
It's going to kill us.
I want to drink the slop.
I want to see Garfield.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that horrible clown man.
Anyway, that's not this podcast.
No, that's another one. I went on Forward ReZero one time, and I think it was the longest podcast that anyone had ever recorded.
I'm supposed to go on to talk about the episode From Zero.
That sounds like a bad time. Why would you do that?
I love that episode so much.
I know, but it's not funny. There's nothing funny about that episode.
It's so good, though.
Yeah. Sam, can we say a prayer so I can go back to playing Fallout New Vegas?
May your life flow like a river. May your day smell sweet as a rose. May your nights be calm as still as a pond. May you be as lucky as an ace in a game of blackjack.
And
may the doctor.
Oh God!
You cut.
No, wait. Is that? Did you cut all of it? Is everything else cut out? Did we get rid of everything?
I did that weeks ago.
Oh.
Through time.
May Clara make a clever souffle. That does sound a little bit. Just sort of messing around with music. I like to mess around with music sometimes.
Okay. Bye.
Excelsior. Dr. Bye.
Bye.